ask you to please turn with me this evening to the letter to the Hebrews in chapter 13 and verse 8. The letter to the Hebrews and chapter 13 and verse 8. And the text for us this evening is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, God's greatest message to this world, and which is central absolutely to the history of this world and central to his inspired book, the Bible, is the revelation of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the message of the Lord Jesus Christ is a message of hope in a world of uncertainty. And we live in a world of uncertainty. And we read right at the very beginning of this letter, if you turn with me to chapter 1 and verse 1, we read God's intention of his message through his Son. God, who at various times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, this is the days in which we are living, spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholden all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And so the main theme of this letter to the Hebrews is the superiority of Jesus Christ above anything in this world. And that's where the way we need to view the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Word of God, and in particular here we're considering the letter to the Hebrews, teaches us that Christ is the person through whom the whole universe was created. God the Father chose to work through his Son and by his Spirit to create the whole universe by his handiwork. And Christ, the heir of all things, is the one before whom the whole world will ultimately bow. And he is the Lord of glory. He is the Lord of justice and the God of grace. Christ is the radiance of the Father's glory. He's the exact representation of God's perfect nature. The wonder is that God the Father has chosen to reveal himself to us through his Son. So he that knows the Father knows the Son. He who knows the Son knows the Father. There is a revelation in a person of God the Father. And Christ then is not only though the radiance of the Father's glory, he is also the one who upholds all things by the word of his power. This is a great mystery this evening, but Christ is in heaven and he is on the throne. He has been set down at the right hand of the Father and is described as being set on my holy hill of Zion. And he's set there as the ruler. And God the Father has chosen in his great wisdom to delegate this remarkable authority of ruling the universe to his Son. And Christ, therefore, is superior not only in his very being as God, but superior in his authority to even the angels of heaven. And he is equal with God the Father and God the Son. And Christ is supremely exalted by God the Father. God the Father has chosen to exalt his Son as the Savior of the world, that we as needy sinners might look to Christ, and through looking to Christ and trusting in him, might come to this precious union with God the Father. Christ has been given dominion and power over all creation forever and ever, and he is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. And we learn about all of this in the letter to the Hebrews. We learn also that Christ has accomplished salvation's work upon the cross at Calvary on behalf of helpless sinners. And that Christ at Calvary is the message of God's love to this needy world, that his Son, standing in the place of sinners to suffer for them and on their behalf, is God's great message of love to this needy world. And Christ, the Son of God, made man, is the only one who can satisfy God's pure justice on the sinner's behalf. And so Christ is God's ultimate revelation of himself to this world. The revelation of his love, the revelation of his grace, the revelation of his mercy, the revelation of his kindness, the revelation of his justice. And here this evening, we have the revelation of God's unchangeable nature. The unchangeable position here of Jesus Christ as Lord of all, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, we live in a world of challenge, don't we? For sure. But whatever change takes place in society, whatever change takes place politically, nationally, in legislation, Jesus Christ remains the same. And that is the message this evening. Just to grasp this by faith, to memorize this verse this evening by faith, and to take it with you into this challenging world in which we live. Jesus Christ remains the same in his person. He forever, for all time, is the way to God, the way to heaven, the way to peace with God the Father. He is the truth. He is forever the truth. He is the revelation of truth. He reveals the essential truth of God's gospel centered in a person. The gospel of God is unchanged, unchangeable. People are attempting to change the gospel of Jesus Christ. We were reminded earlier today of the way in which repentance is being taken out. Just simply trust in Jesus. But that's not the gospel. The gospel speaks of repentance, the need to know conviction of sin, and coming before the Lord as a needy sinner, and trusting only in the precious blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And whatever men do to try and change this, it is unchangeable. And Jesus Christ is unchangeably the life. He is unchangeably the way. He is unchangeably the truth. And he is unchangeably the life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am unchangeably the way to God. I am unchangeably the truth about God. And I am unchangeably the life. He is unchangeably the eternal life to those who repent and put their trust in him. And it's all centered in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. But then there's another thing that's unchangeable about the Lord Jesus Christ, not only his person and his work in the gospel to save sinners, but his authority. We were reminded last week that God the Father has set his Son on his holy hill of Zion. And God the Father has appointed God the Son. And that's unchangeable. Whatever change we're experiencing in life, in our lives this evening, in the world and the whole scene of the world is under change. Christ is not, as it were, stressed on his throne. He's seated on the throne. It's not like the Lord Jesus Christ, and I say it reverently, is having a conference with the Father. What are we going to do about these situations? Oh dear, this is so confusing. What are we going to do? There is absolute serenity on the throne of God. Nothing's changed on the throne of God. There is constant serenity, constant authority, constant peace, constant harmony, Father, Son, and Spirit working together to bring about the eternal counsels of God, and nothing has changed. And God has appointed his Son as Lord and ruler, and his authority has not changed. So we need to look to this one. We need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ for comfort and assurance this evening. There is an unchangeable person. And then his wisdom doesn't change. The wisdom of the world is constantly changing. The wisdom of the world is telling us, for example, I'll tell you what I mean. When I was, before I was called into the ministry, in the printing industry, we had advisors that would come and say, look into the future, what should you do? And we had a pension advisor come along and he said, well, we are being encouraged to retire at 50 now. There's a great move for the older people to retire at 60, and even earlier, because we got this unemployment situation. And within 30 years, that has changed. And now the emphasis on keep working as long as you can. You need to keep working to help pay for the government to pay the pensions and all that sort of thing. And so man's wisdom changes. What they might advise 20 years ago is not the advice that's given now. Things have changed. And there's no time in history wherein there has been so much change. In technology, for example, dramatic change. Change in technology, change in society, change in the structure of the world. In the weekly paper at Ashford, they show each week pictures of the town 50 years ago. It's very interesting to see the way that Ashford has changed in its architecture over 50 years. As we look at those pictures, we remind ourselves of how it used to be in those days. But there's been tremendous change. And we live in this changing world. And so this evening the message is, in this changing world, look to one who doesn't change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. His love doesn't change. When we follow the Lord Jesus Christ and we fail him and we confess to him our failure, as we have failed him, his love hasn't changed for us. He hasn't gone cold on his love. His love is an eternal love he has for his people. It doesn't change. And the security that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't change. Because our security for salvation is not dependent upon our fragile hold of Christ. It is completely dependent upon his hold of us. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And sometimes our faith is very weak. But God is not weak. Jesus Christ is not weak. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So this is a great comfort. We live in a challenging world, but there is comfort this evening. There is someone we can go to and look to and trust in and believe in. Because whatever condition you are in this evening, wherever you are, Jesus Christ remains the same. And I know some of you, dear brethren, have been through challenging times. And I want to assure you this evening, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Men change. We're not perfect. Sometimes we change our minds. Sometimes, sadly, we say one thing one year, another thing the next year. We're frail beings. When we move away from the Word of God and for the truth of God and from the unchangeable nature of God's Word. So we have to look beyond man to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And His power to save remains undiminished. You'd have thought that because of Jesus, the precious blood of Jesus Christ has saved so many billions of sinners, that by now the power of Christ to save would have weakened somewhat. That, as it were, we are towards the end times and we are getting the fountain is running out, we might say, and it's running weakly. You know, it's weak, it's the pressure's gone, because most of the wonderful efficacy of the precious blood has gone. No, it's not like that at all. His power to save remains the same because of who He is, the glorious person, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And He can save unto the uttermost all those that come unto God through Him. This is the ultimate word for sin. Now, you may be tempted this evening by Satan saying to you, well, this is all very well, this message of the Savior, Jesus Christ, but, you know, my situation is so complicated and I don't understand myself, and there's this issue that I had many years ago and I just cannot think that God could possibly deal with such a situation. How could God deal with such a situation as that? Well, the Word of God says, if you turn with me to chapter 7, verse 25, wherefore He is able. Do you doubt Jesus is able? Wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. And you see, friends, Jesus Christ is speaking through His word to you this evening. It's not just, we're not just speaking about Jesus this evening. Jesus is speaking through His word this evening. This is what happens when we come under the word of God. God is speaking to us through His word. We don't just speak about Christ. We don't just proclaim Christ. As we speak about Christ and proclaim Christ, actually, Christ is speaking through His word to you. The person of Christ is speaking. And this evening He's saying to you through His word, I am the same, yesterday, today, and forever. These are the words of Jesus to you, the words of Christ. Christ is alive through His word, and He's speaking. And His power to save remains undiminished. His ministry to intercede remains faithful and true. He's ever living to make intercession for His people. And His presence remains the same with His people. Now, this presence of Christ is a wonderful thing when we feel the presence of Christ. Some of us may be able to testify that there have been times when we have felt it, more so than other times. We've really had our heart burn within us as we have felt Christ speaking to us through His word. and we've had that union with the Father in Christ. But it's not always like that. Sometimes our hearts feel hard and unfeeling, and we wonder at the way in which we can read the Word of God, and we remain unmoved, and we wonder how this can be, how God's presence can still be with us. Well, even though God's presence is not always felt and experienced, it remains a reality, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, there is a story about an account given about some tribesmen that lived in a forest. And in the training of their young men, the young warriors, part of their training exercise was to be left in the middle of the forest at night. And they were put up in a tree, but the tree branch was low enough for a bear or another wild animal to pull them down from the branch and to destroy them. And this young teenager would have to sit in that tree all through the night. And it was a terrifying place to be. And this young man who experienced, had to go through his experience, was absolutely terrified. But when the sun rose from the in the sky and the light began to dawn into that dark wood, he noticed his father. And his father was standing at a distance with a bow and arrow. And his father had been there all night. He didn't know this. The young boy didn't know this. But actually, even though he didn't feel his father's presence, his father was there with his bow and arrow. And if a bear had come, he would have killed the bear rather than seen his son slain. But his son didn't know that at the time. But his father was present. And so it is with the Lord Jesus Christ, with his people. He says, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. And as we trust in this Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of his sheep, he promises us, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. And so our confidence in what he has promised in his word, although we don't always feel it. And so there is a certainty with these words this evening. We've looked at the challenge and the comfort, but what about the certainty? Whatever the experience, whatever the trial, whatever the times of the age in which we live, his promises remain. Assuredly true, unchangeably the same. His faithfulness to his mission and his people remain unchanged. But this truth provides a solemn warning to us this evening, because we cannot manipulate Jesus Christ to our standards. As much as he remains the same as the Savior of love and mercy and grace and compassion and kindness, he remains the same as the ruler and the judge. We cannot manipulate Jesus Christ to our standards. So we cannot have him as our Savior without bowing before him as our Lord. For as much as Jesus Christ has most certainly lived and died and risen again, he most certainly will return in glory and majesty as the great judge of the whole world, and every eye shall see him. So how do we respond to this evening? Well, the hymn writer said, change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. Is that your prayer this evening? O Lord, abide with me. Circumstances in life change, there is national change, political upheaval, financial uncertainty. But here the text this evening encourages us to put our trust in the unchangeable one. Now we have been going through the Gospel of Mark, and we have got to the completion of the Gospel of Mark, and we have sought to look at the life and the testimony and the witness and the example and the death, resurrection and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has taught us in his word. And the Lord Jesus said that whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. But every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You know how it is at the when we go down to the sea, and we might make models of sand on the seashore. When the tide comes in, it levels it all out, and the next morning there's just this beautiful level beach, as though nothing had been there before. But if we are along a rocky coastline, the rocks haven't changed. The scenery actually hasn't changed at all. The rocks remain the same, and they have withstood hundreds and hundreds of thousands of waves upon them, and they remain the same. An unchanging coastline, apart, alternative to the sandy coastline, the chalky coastline. But the rocky coastline is something that remains unchanging over many years. And so we conclude this evening in our final point by just reminding ourselves that Jesus Christ is like our rock. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's like the rock that Jesus describes upon which we need to build the life of our house. Our house needs to be built upon the rock. Your life needs to be built upon a foundation that is immovable. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know, it has become in our culture a common expression to describe the faithful support of a person to another as their rock. But when the fallible person perhaps then shares to others, like it happened to the Princess of Wales, about their private life, albeit they were being described as a rock, I just use that as an example, we realize that actually that person isn't such a rock after all. That was an insecure rock. Moses had to learn this lesson himself. He is the one that describes God as the great rock, his rock. And he learned this by bitter experience. The one closest to him, his brother Aaron, whom he trusted and thought he could depend upon, failed while Moses was on Mount Sinai. Moses was told to go out to Mount Sinai, and he said, "My brother Aaron, now Aaron, look after things while I'm away." And as he went up to the mountain, I don't think Moses thought there'd be a problem. He trusted Aaron. He was his rock. He was his right hand. There won't be any problems with Aaron. No, he's a solid man. He's right with me. He was being my right hand going out of Egypt. Yet while Moses was up the mountain, Aaron was down the bottom of the mountain making an idol, a golden calf. And at the end of his life, Moses testifies that it is the Lord who is his rock, his unchangeable one, his eternal foundation, the sure foundation. And he looks to other people who think that other nations who think their idols are like a rock. And he says their rock is not as our rock. Their rock is not as our rock. Our rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the same yesterday, today and forever. And when Moses wrote those words in Deuteronomy, he had Christ in mind. He was looking by faith to Christ, the rock of his salvation. So can you say by faith this evening, like David, who said, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation." Dear friends, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. This is the answer this evening. This is the security this evening. This is the solace for us this evening. It's in a person, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, this wonderful, unchangeable person, the Lord Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there was a message given from the prophet Malachi from God to those that believe on him. He said, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed." That's the reason. Because God changes not. We by nature are sinners and we need to change. We need to change. If we remain, live and die in our sinful state as an unchanged person, an unconverted person, we will know a terrible destruction in hell. So we need to change. But for us to change, we need to trust in the unchangeable one, the Lord Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So be assured this evening. Be encouraged. The Lord hasn't left us without a witness. God hasn't left us without comfort. God hasn't left us without direction. He says to us this evening through his word, "Look to this one, so that you may boldly say," as the Hebrews says, the letter to the Hebrews says, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I will not fear, because Jesus is the same. And he is my Lord, and he is my Savior, and he is my refuge." Let's turn to our hymn books this evening, and we conclude by singing hymn number